We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the New Nasty Boys. I'm your co-host this morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you decide to watch or listen to this thing, Billy DeVore. And sitting next to me is
Chris Weir. What's up, Nasty Nation? Welcome back to the Fart Dunge.
Oh, you are waking up this morning. You are turning us on after the Reds just had another spectacular win.
It was glorious.
It was amazing.
I mean, I still feel the energy. It just happened, but I sure when I wake up, I'm going to feel it in the morning, too. It was great.
Oh, dude, the walls and the Fart Dunge are buzzing.
Yeah, reverberating back and forth down here. The energy.
The energy. You can see the smells.
You can see it right in front of your face. It's thick.
It's thick and not too stinky this time.
Mm-mm.
Not too bad.
It's all right. We're getting used to it, though. That's what I think. We're developing a tolerance.
Yeah, it's really seeped in. It's just an overall stench now, or as I like to call it, coûté de veau.
Okay.
Nice, which is just cut of devour.
Ooh,
yeah.
Little butt cut.
Little cheddar cut. Cut in the cheese. Yeah, dude, it was just an awesome win, and that's what we get to close on. But so this little tease there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great weekend together.
We did. We went to Wiley's Comedy Joint in Dayton, Ohio. Had a great time. We had a lot of people come out. We had thanks to all the Nasty Nation that did come out. We had a handful of people. Also, thanks to the comics. We had John Holmes. We had Garrett Teitelbaum, Phil Pointer, Shubes. Alex Schubert did come out. Took us to a nice pizza place.
Oh, and I got an Italian beef sandwich. It was delicious. Shout out Milano's.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised by that piece. I still got some upstairs. I got like a spicy Sinatra.
Ooh, yeah, that looked good. It had the banana peppers on it.
It was pretty tight. Nice spicy sauce too.
A little red sauce. God damn. And that sandwich was a big boy.
It was. The comedy was great, but let me tell you about this pizza.
You know what? Honestly, I think I like the sandwich better than hanging out with all y'all folks.
Oh, understandable. I was really digging just hanging out there, just like drinking on my beer and having my slices out. It's like,
And then we just had my phone up. We were watching West Coast baseball. It was, and then just talking to each other and being like, oh, we have six other people we need to talk to. We can't completely disassociate. We're in their hometown.
True.
So we just looked over like, hey, are you good? Okay, great. Mariners are still on.
Yeah. So. It was a fun time. It was a nice road trip. It was fun. Fun hanging with the boys and watching some baseball.
It was fantastic. And then we did opening day together.
Mm-hmm.
The event at Taglio went great. That pizza is going to be there the whole Reds season. So go get some while supplies last, which will be for, you know, like 158 more games.
Yeah, man. And that was a great outing, apparently. Apparently, a lot of people came out, supported the cause.
They did, and it went a little viral. And people, there was a lady who showed up. She's like, I came because I saw your reel, and I thought there would be a line around the block.
It's so funny. Like, the amount of things we'll talk about baseball, but, like, we talk about food. People's like, I love it. This is incredible.
I had a guy recognize me at the Reds game on Sunday. Go, hey, you're that pizza guy.
I'll take it.
That's fine.
Sure.
Okay, cool. I'm the chili king, and I'm that pizza guy.
Well, that's cool, though. You got a handful of foods named after you. So
yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Well, the best part was after she had the pizza, the first 10 people got a free shirt, and she came over to the table I was at. And she put the shirt on the table and said, will you sign this for me?
Did you sign it with mustard?
Yeah, it was more like a Pollock splatter with the hot sauce bottle just hitting it.
Oh, lovely.
With my initials in. No, I did it with a Sharpie, and I felt really cool.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. That's the first time I ever signed a shirt. But, that's the dream. Signing a shirt with chili pizza on it that I had my team design.
Mm-hmm.
With my idea on, I mean, I could die a very happy man and with high cholesterol.
Yeah, you could. You very well could die a happy man.
Easily.
Yeah, it was an amazing weekend. I mean, opening day was an absolute blast. Then I had to actually go to do a show later that night. Woo! I barely locked it in. I'll tell you that. I did some strategic walking. I was like, I could get an Uber. I could do something like that, but I need to walk off some of this fun. So I was serpentining through the streets of downtown Cincinnati, making my way to Motor on opening day.
It was like you're playing Snake on your Nokia phone.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, I got to go left, and I got to go right. I'm going to go around this block and back up straight.
Okay. Ah, smash. I need my mom to pick me up. This is terrible.
Mom, oh my God, that was a Menards ad for solar, the solar eclipse glasses.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, for $1, make sure you get your solar eclipse shades.
Oh man, that's not a bad deal. I mean, I got screwed the last time I had to buy like a pair for $20.
Oh really?
Yeah, I went to Lowe's.
Lowe's, that inflation, man, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. They really fuck you. Well then, it didn't help that before you left, I did give you a shot of Malort.
Ooh, no, that helped. That helped. That made the walk a lot better.
Yeah, you're like, oh man, maybe I can do this set.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was a blast, though. That was such a magical night. Great time. Awesome. Hopefully you guys had a wonderful opening day as well. It was such a great widow.
And hopefully they caught us on TV.
Oh, yeah. Bill, you want to tell them about that? Well, we just had a little snap on.
Yeah, we were just the two outs in the ninth, and then they zoom over on us. There's Adam on his phone, and then there's Alicia leaning over yelling at Pat, and I'm holding up my beer bat, like screaming, like, yeah! And then you're down below me screaming too, just so hyped.
It was very much a Renaissance painting vibe that was happening. A lot of different directional things. Yeah. Jesus was being carried out on a cross.
I was being fed grapes.
Yeah.
I was shirtless. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. But no, it was pretty cool. I got a couple texts like, hey, someone texted me and was like, where did you get a chalice? And I was like, no, that is a beer bat. So
yeah,
you do feel very regal holding that thing. I was just putting it, pulling it out, going, yeah. And then Reds went and holding it high up in the air. It's like, we have done it. Nasty Nation rules this land.
You're like a king. You're all my peasants and my people. I'm splashing beer on you. It is funny because I took a piss next to you at the stadium and he's holding his beer bat, just leaking and putting more in. It is funny to see adults walk around with like just toys.
Toys that we're getting drunk out of. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. Is I was just in line and I'm waiting to get to the urinal and there are people passing on the other side. Mm-hmm. So when I'd have to go get a drink, I'd have to lean back so I wouldn't hit someone in the head when I went to go get a drink. Just like, oh fuck, I have to accommodate for this extra 2 feet.
It is tricky.
It is hard.
You do kind of do like a sideways thing, like in the stands, like a little bit, if you got someone kind of like a tall head in front of you.
Yeah.
So you got to pay attention a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like a medieval trumpeter.
Yeah.
Getting ready to announce a joust.
You're like,
and it's just me making bubble sounds the whole time.
Did you go to the, you went to the parade too, didn't you?
I did. I did go to the parade. There's one thing from that parade that I didn't really understand.
What was it?
They had in the middle of the parade, they had a truck with a banner out front that said, "We will never forget." And then on the back bed of it, they had just a steel beam from one of the World Trade Center buildings. Why?
Man, I don't know, dude. I follow that steel beam around. Yeah. I follow that beam like it's the dead.
Hey, did you check out Shakedown Street for all that knockoff cool merch?
Yeah. Saw him in 87. Way before 9/11.
Yeah, I remember seeing him naked, dude, being built.
I saw Steel Beam before it sold out.
Dude, you know who opened for Steel Beam? Steely Dan. What a bill, dude.
Dude, that is such a wild thing. Just torn around the steel beam.
Steel beam. Dude, I remember that beam when Biggie was rapping about it and the bomb went off.
Yeah, dude, that beam is legit.
Dude,
too legit to melt.
Yeah, too legit to melt. Jet fuel can't melt me not following this thing on tour. Why?
I want to get that tour schedule, though. I want to see it. It's got like one of the, like a Bonnaroo dates on the back, all that stuff.
different parades. I wonder, I bet there was a QR code that I could have clicked to see where it would be next.
That's hilarious, a QR code on the steel beams.
Want to see the where the beam ends up next?
Oh, the steel beam.
Follow the steel beam.
Follow Beamy.
And it was like, it was in pretty good shape. It was just a little twisted.
Yeah.
It wasn't like real rough, so it's like, really? They both fell? That doesn't look too bad. Too bad.
Well, that's hilarious. I wish I would have seen that. But I'll catch them when they come around next time.
Yeah. Dude, I've got plans for 2025, dude. I'm hitting at least six different cities to see the beam.
I'll see it when it comes to Bogarts. I'll see the beam when it comes back to Bogues.
Dude, I saw the beam in a small 50-person room.
Back before it was huge, man.
Before it was huge. It was such a personal meetup with the beam.
Yeah, it was like a little thumbtack at that point.
It's like no one knew who the beam was. Got like a $10 shirt. It asked me to follow it on SoundCloud.
Yeah, those were the days, man.
Dude, those were the days. And then next thing you know, the beam got commercialized. Beam sold out.
Yeah, whatever, Beamy. I mean, I'll still come watch, but I liked your old stuff better.
I like the old stuff. Yeah, the first building way better. I like Tower. I like the North Tower better.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's so fucking funny.
It is.
It is so goddamn funny. Oh, it was great.
I apologize to any of the listeners we just lost, but...
That's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? Never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget. This is for you.
Beamy.
Mm. Oh, man. But no, aside from that, parade was great, but that was my favorite part.
That's awesome.
It was so cool. And what was also great with opening day, there's some other fantastic stories. Some seem planned, some maybe snuck something in. Just a little fun, you know, a little thought it would be a little inside joke, but then it got to be on a giant billboard, and that's not an inside joke. The Mets, for their veteran that they announced for opening day, he was a World War II veteran with the name of Seymour Wehner.
I love it.
It's so good. Do you think that's his real name?
No, but I mean, I take back everything I said negative about war, because this guy rules.
This guy's awesome. Makes me wish there was like a third world war, you know?
Send him back.
Send him back.
Seymour rules.
Seymour Dick. Just really lean into it. Yeah, Seymour Richard? No real surname? Nope. That's my name.
I don't understand how, because you know it has to be like 20-something-year-olds like in charge of like their all their audiovisual stuff. They knew it. They had to have known it.
No doubt.
Like, that's just a thing. I mean, it's a brilliant thing to put it out there because now we're talking about it.
Yeah, and then that's just the highlight of the Mets season.
Yeah, probably.
That's it. It's just, do you remember when it was really cold on the opening day and then they just wheeled out this old guy named Seymour Wehner?
He was a little wrinkled that day, but...
He was a little, he said he's a little, that was a little smaller than he normally is.
He was just in the pool.
Yeah, he was just in the pool.
Oh, man, but that old raisin, bless your heart, that was, that's hilarious. If you did that, oh, I love it. I mean, if I had that sort of humor left in my bones when I'm that age,
Well, I don't think you can really shorten Seymour to what, C?
Mm-mm.
No, that's it. C Wehner, that'd be even worse.
Yeah. I mean, you could go by, like, you could have gone with whatever his title was, like General S. Wehner. But still, I mean, Wehner, whatever you do, it's hilarious.
It's so funny. Mm. And then I love how they followed up the next day. It was like on the board, it was like the trivia question, like, what baseball team broke the internet with their World War II veteran?
Did they really do that?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great job.
Yeah, they really killed it and leaned into it. So good on you to allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. So that's the only time the Mets will grab headlines this year.
Very true.
Actually, that's not true. Later that game, that's when Rhys Hoskins slid in the second, and Jeff McNeil pointed down at him and was like, "You're a little fucking bitch."
Oh, yeah, man. There's been a lot of static going around between some ball clubs. I love it.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
More brawls, the better.
Exactly.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, we got what we thought we would get with these uniforms. It's bad.
Yeah, it's not good. We're looking at a photo of CES right now, and when you can see the ups through the bottoms, that's not nice.
That's not nice, but you know what is nice? Seeing the full outline of his hog.
Yeah.
Dude, that thing is not even trying to hide.
Yeah, dude. If he had like a quarter in his pocket, I could read the date on it.
And if you look real close, it does look like a snake trying to eat an apple.
There's something going on down there. Sorry, no one's paying attention to what you're saying for your interview. We're looking at the outline of your hog.
Yeah, dude. You're letting it fly. It's not like he has a choice.
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's stupid. Hopefully they course correct. But until they don't, we'll just keep talking about it.
We'll just keep seeing everyone's hogs.
Yeah, that'll be the new stat. Like, the girth of everybody's, like, dong. Because we'll know every interview, unless they stand there like a toy soldier or something.
Yeah, like they're trying to block a free kick in soccer.
Yeah.
At the 13, just like, oh, God. When I was up close and we were looking at, like, Ellie, like, we could see fully his legs. Like, it's bad. The Nationals uniforms, the jersey doesn't match the pants. They're two different grays. Mm. And then I noticed it tonight with the game when they zoomed in on the Reds. Like, it's a lighter gray than the darker pants. It's a couple shades, but it's noticeable if you're looking for it.
Yeah, not a good look for professional athletes to have.
No, it looks like shit. And then I went and I felt the jersey.
Oh, did you?
I did. It's gross.
Really?
It feels like it's really thin.
Mm.
It's sticky.
Were you feeling this over CES's cock? This is sticky.
This is sticky. Just rubbing in the outline.
Oh, now it's getting harder.
Man, I didn't know these pants could move.
You said it's like a not a good texture. It's tacky.
It's
or?
Like tacky. It's super thin. It feels cheap. It feels like if you took a performance shirt,
mm-hmm.
you cut it, like you cut a layer off of it, so it's a single layer, and then you cut a bunch of lines in it.
Yeah.
It's like really vented.
Okay.
And it's supposed to like stop sweat. Not like full stop is stupid. Not as much sweat.
Okay.
But then you look at Carlos Rondon when he was pitching against the Astros and it completely changed to a dark gray.
That's not stopping
just
sweat.
Just holding and like it was barely hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a flannel hang off a scarecrow. They've been there for a while.
And all those guys will wear undershirts and stuff too, like Under Armour things, which will help for the sweat. So, I mean, it's just a cop-out for them just like cutting corners to save costs. That's all it is.
That's all it is. That's I mean, we're sticking to that. We have not changed our opinion on it, but finally getting to feel it, I'm like, man, you're going to charge $350 for this?
It just looks like a knockoff.
It does. I felt the patch. So, like, there is an embroidery. There's, like, some thread in the outline of the C.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it is just, it doesn't look like it's been printed on. It's just really cheap, tightly woven thread. It doesn't, there's no puff on it. There's no pop. It's just very meh.
Mm-hmm. All minimal.
All minimal. And yeah, and if I'm spending $350 on a jersey, I want it to pop off and look good.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if they were selling it for an appropriate price, but for the fact that they're trying to pass it off as something that's going to be a high quality, authentic stitching, it's just highway robbery.
No, it's awful. And then like I went home and felt my authentics that I have from last year and the year before, and they feel worlds better.
Yeah, dude.
They're a little heavier. They're a little thicker, but it feels like a jersey.
It's great. You get to see like, all the additional like little touches they put into things, like little hits on the bottom, on the inside, and actual good quality stitching. I mean, that's what you're paying for.
Dude, the Kroger patch on the left sleeve was wavy. I'm like, what are we doing here?
That's garbage.
Mr. Redlegs was not outlined perfectly. It was just like a rounded kind of patch. I'm like, this looks fucking terrible.
And he had a Fu Manchu. What's up with that?
Dude, he was fingering Rosie.
That's what Dear Lord. I'd pay extra for that.
Oh, dude. Yeah, sign me up. I don't need to. I'll lick that stitch count. It was so cool. It was just fucking wild, man. And it's just disappointing to see it in person and know that we're going to have to deal with it. And the grays not matching is insane to me.
Yeah.
And it has that weird sheen. It has a weird reflective light where it just looks like someone pulled a Glad garbage bag out of their under their sink and put it on.
Yeah, and it's probably something that's going to wash away like over the course of the season. So we'll see like how these things progressively just get worse.
It'll get worse.
It'll be fun.
It'll get worse and worse. These pants will get more worn out and more worn out. Someone's going to slide head first because that's the new thing, and their dick's going to drag.
You're going to see a line of their cock just going right on through the dirt.
10-day IL for hog rash.
I got my hog rashed.
Got a pebble in the urethra. Yes, I shortened urethra to uree.
I love it, man. I'm here for
Thanks, dude. I've been really working on my just, you know, abbreviating things that don't need it.
That's quite all right. It's going to be a new stat in the ballgame here.
Thanks, dude. Added to the spreadsheet. So, start off with some cool news. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz signed with Jumpman. That's really cool. That's an exclusive list of athletes.
That's awesome. That's really cool for him. Also, too, it puts more spotlight on the Reds organization. So, hey, awesome.
Awesome. And hopefully that means we get, like, some cool Jumpman Ellie merch.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be so sick, dude. Imagine if, like, Ellie had some Jumpman cleats that were also shoes. They brought back, like, the Griffey line of shoes, like the Swingman. They bring back all of that, and Ellie gets his own shoe.
That'd be pretty tight. He may have his own uniform, have a better line of clothes.
They actually make him wear garbage bags. Just a giant Jumpman that's bigger than the Red Sea.
Yeah. Everyone's cutting costs nowadays.
We're cutting it down. But no, I think that's really cool. Just shows you how special this guy is and how special he's going to be and how much the league and everyone else is invested in his success. So it's also going to be really expensive to bring him back in 5 years. So
enjoy him.
Enjoy it. Soak it all in while we can, you know. But also then Scott Boras has totally shit the bed this offseason. I mean, look, Jordan Montgomery signed last week, 1 year, $25 million, and everyone's thinking, like, he's going to get 5 years, $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 year, $25 is a big difference. So who knows what's going to happen in the future and what could happen with the CBA and all this stuff. But it's what I'm trying to say is good for Ellie, and we're going to get some cool Jumpman stuff.
Yeah.
That's what's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellie also did a press conference in English.
That's rad.
That's cool. It's so cool that he, like, took the time, really built up the confidence to say, I'm not getting screwed by my interpreter. No, thank you. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, the timing was impeccable for that.
Yeah. There's a few other athletes who came out like, yeah, no. I got it.
Yeah, I'll take it from here.
Yeah.
No, I'm signing that.
Yeah. No, I got this. Also, you log out of your FanDuel. Shut it down. Thank you. Yeah, dude. But my big thing is there's a lot of people who were negative in the comments, which who would have thought? Coming out and saying, like, this is getting too much coverage. This kind of seems racist. It kind of belittles what he did. How do you feel about that shit?
Man, I don't know. If I learned another language and spoke kind of decently, I would want the world to stop for me.
Yeah.
I think that'd be so cool. I'm excited for him. I think it's awesome. I don't know. I don't see how you could be negative about it.
It's just because someone has to be on the other side of it.
Contrarian.
Yeah. Devil's advocate, all of this, like, well, actually, you know, it's like, dude, if I just made up on the fly, like, Coute d'Ivoire, and I was like, yeah, that's some French, and I'm so thrilled about it.
Yeah, you said that one thing that blew my mind. I was like, that is insane.
Yeah.
If you strung together, like, full sentences and we're going back and forth, like, you are out of this world right now. You're a magician.
Yeah. Where'd you pull that out of? Ah, hat, rabbit, good times. But also, like, dude, I failed Spanish 1.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. Learning another language is difficult.
Take it from us. Yeah. A couple brainiacs over here. Hey, Spanish, hey, ain't easy. You know what I want? English?
It's hard to grasp a lot of the time, and it's the only thing I know.
Mm.
So, good on him, and give the guy a break. Don't take a weird side on it.
Yeah, there should be no sides on this. He's speaking another language. That's awesome. He's wanting to communicate more with people, so cool. Awesome, Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much appreciated.
It is so cool. Good for him, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very good for him. The first home series is come and gone. The season's in full swing. We've had 4 games, and the Reds are 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, it's been some roller coaster rides. It's been exciting.
Dude, it's been the only games that weren't exciting was basically the first one, and we just beat the tar out of them.
It was just so much fun.
It was so fun. God, I'm so glad we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Start from the top, dude. We'll, you know, this will be a little different because we don't have enough data to really dig in and
mm-hmm.
give some. So we'll just go quick game by game. Frankie Montas spun it on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs, 4 Ks, 8 whiffs, 81 pitches. Good mix.
Mm-hmm.
Really strong mix. He had 22 four-seamers, 22 splitters, 18 cutters, 13 sinkers, 6 sliders. A lot of stuff on the outside, a lot of stuff low. He was all over the place with a lot of intent, with a called strike whiff rate of 28.4%. What'd you think of that outing?
He did really great. Shoved, I think, was the word of the day. He shoved.
Big shove.
Yeah, and just he's felt in control the entire time. If you're looking at his pitch chart here, he's mixing it up, not only the pitches, location. So you're seeing that just pay dividends early, just keeping the hitters off balance. And that was the theme the whole game from at the mound, just complete dominance, for the most part, just controlling the game. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, those aren't really sexy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The big sexy number is 6 innings pitched with 81 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He was controlled in command. There was an inning where he had 8 pitches. I mean, that's what you want from your number one guy. Someone who's going to go out opening day, control the nerve, show that he's back.
Yes.
And keep in control. I was such a huge fan of that, especially the mix, showing that he has 5 pitches he can use whenever he wants, albeit the slider 6 times. He didn't really need it when you're throwing 4 different fastballs.
Yeah. Kept the hitters off balance, and that just the way that just goes through the clubhouse. If you feel calm and confident, offense is going to feel the same way.
Yeah, and it's also a sense of competition where you go, hey, you see what I just did in front of that sold out crowd? Your turn, bud.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Compete with each other, and that's why they brought this guy in. He says he's healthy. He showed that he's healthy, and it makes you really excited for his next start.
Absolutely. It was a great first start for him.
Huge first start. The only real blemish on that day was Emilio Pagan, who gave up a dinger to Eddie Rosario, 2-run dinger. It was just a high inside fastball. He turned on it, and then Emilio went, probably shouldn't throw that again.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. Suter came in and hurled 2 great innings.
That was awesome. Hometown kid.
Getting to shut it down on opening day. God, that's got to be so cool.
Yeah, you got to love those stories, man. Baseball's awesome. You have them.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying, like, opening day, get to close out, get a save for your hometown. That's awesome.
Dude, baseball's the best. It was just an incredible day. And then how can you not be romantic about baseball when 33-year-old Nick Martini gets called up? He's starting. He's holding on to his roster spot. He's DHing. Hits 2 dingers.
Yeah. That was wild. The ballpark erupted. The shirts were made after him. They got new drinks in the ballpark already. It's wild how things happen.
Dude, they're making dirty martinis in the beer bats now.
That is insane. I'm here for it. Insane.
Yeah, you got to bring your beer bat, but you got to ask someone real nice, like, hey, is this, 2 liters of dirty gin martini?
Yeah.
9 olives.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm riding that streetcar on top.
like one of those.
The electrical wires, I'm holding.
Hold on, you're riding on top like it's one of them worms from Dune.
Yeah! I haven't seen Dune, is it good?
I saw part 1, I haven't seen part 2 yet.
Okay.
And I've been pushing it off. I really want to see it this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things on my list is... I think that might be a Thursday activity.
Yeah?
Nah, I probably should do Chameleon. But yeah, Nick Martini out of his gourd. And since he didn't play last night, today, whatever, I mean, the guy's batting 500, 556, 1.375 slugging. Sorry, wow.
Whoops.
My brain. 500, 556, 1.375 with an OPS of 1.931 with an OPS plus of 384. Those are ungodly numbers. Look, I get it. It's 3 games, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just the numbers we have to talk about right now, and it's fun.
It's fun. The guy leads the league in OPS.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, he was hanging out in the minors.
Yeah. Now he's just on a different echelon. It's great.
He's, dude, hell yeah. Hopefully he keeps it rolling. Keep that momentum going. The only people who didn't have hits on opening day were Heimer Candelario and CES. But they've kind of been pretty good since then.
I think so. They've had some nice hits. Timely, I'll say.
Timely is a very apt. Saturday was a little bit of a different story. Hunter Green had not so great of an outing. 4 2/3. That's rough.
It really is.
7 Ks. That's really cool. four walks, that's not cool.
Yeah, it's not for a lack of good stuff. It's just him not being able to command the strike zone, getting way too deep into counts, and still isn't effective on having a third pitch. So once players are eliminating spots and pitches, you become easier to target.
Yeah, so much easier. And the fact that, you know, he only threw his splitter six times, it's surprising to see slider 51, four-seamer 42. This isn't what we need to see out of him.
Yeah, there was some great pitch combinations, like especially with lefties. He was doing great, just coming in under the hands, fastball, dropping that slider. He was doing really great, but then he just fall off a little bit with command and just not mixing up the pitches enough. But no. Yeah, you really need to see him go deeper into games than this.
Yeah, coming in on lefties, great point. I mean, but then also low. I mean, you look at that bunch, and it is inside and low to lefties, outside and low to righties. You got to be able to hit the top of the zone. You got to be able to work both all four corners, and he just wasn't doing it.
Mm-mm. I mean, you look at that compared to Muntas, it's a much different pitch chart.
It's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Muntas, he's not topping out at, you know, 99, you know, on average. So, and we just saw Abbott go into the sixth inning throwing 94. So you don't need to always be throwing as hard as you possibly can.
Nope.
So hopefully this will be one of the starts that he's going to move away from.
Yeah, and you need to be above 29% on your called strike and whiff rate.
Yes.
You can't, if you're going to be a guy that's blasting 100, 101 slider and barely touching your splitter and completely eliminating your changeup, you got to be high 30s. Low 40s, or you need to start pitching to contact.
For sure, man.
You need to start, you know, jam in, be smarter, have better control, and understand that, you know what? A great day isn't just 12 strikeouts. A great day, I know it's hard to say, is 6 2/3.
Yeah.
That's not, I know it's not realistic in today's game, but for fuck's sake, you want to be the ace?
Yeah, and you think about where the Reds were last year with what was really affecting them with the starting pitching is not going deep enough into games. The bullpen was great, but they got burnout towards the latter half of the season. So this is how it plays out. It starts off now, so hopefully they can avoid that and just get him into a rhythm of just, you don't have to strike everybody out. Let them hit the ball, get themselves out. You got great stuff. You know, let your defense do some work.
Yeah, and also work the other parts of the plate. You know, it doesn't all have to live in one place.
Correct.
I mean, it's cool that you're tunneling in that spot, but also evolve and tunnel in other spots.
Yeah, have some other. I know it's so easy for me to say. So I'm talking to a professional athlete here.
I know it's the hard thing for us to accept, but it's like, we're not wrong here.
Yeah, and I know we get to sit back and watch this, but just seeing how having some different game plans to where it's not just the same couple pitch sequences to where, because they're clearly eliminating some stuff, or it seems like they're choosing a handful of things to just avoid.
Sure, 100%. As in, I'm not going to throw anything higher outside or high and inside. I'm just staying right here. I'm just staying with this game plan. This is what I developed and not altering it whatsoever. Hopefully throughout the year that changes. And hopefully, man, he gets a better feel for that splitter. Because it doesn't look too different. It doesn't look too different from his slider.
Mm.
It's just a little slower than his fastball. I mean, his splitter, he threw it at 89.1 miles per hour. His slider was at 87.2.
Yeah, hopefully he does get a better feel for that.
He will. I have faith in it. I just hope that his game plan isn't just to straight up abandon it.
Yeah.
Because Spencer Strider, his curveball looked good. He worked on it. And now that we see the splitter, it's like, okay, there is potential. Maybe he goes out with Frankie and he goes, dude, can you show me how you do yours? Give me a little bit more. Give me some more tips here.
That's one of the reasons why he's there, man.
Yeah, you know, 100%.
Pass some knowledge.
And then you had Alexis Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, that first batter that he saw, he threw four strikes and they got called four balls. And then everything unraveled.
It's rough. That'll happen sometimes.
It's crazy. And you kind of hope that was just a bump in the road. And then after tonight, it clearly showed it was just a bump in the road. It got away from him. And it was, you know, it was his first appearance of the regular season.
Yeah, maybe first game jitters, you know, still getting in the rhythm. But we just saw the game he had here. He came out for two innings. It was four outs,
yeah,
I believe, and was dominant. I mean, he had a great final at-bat when he was going against Romuto.
Yeah, JT Romuto.
And it looked amazing. So it, clearly night and day difference between that game and this game. So a little blip. I'm not worried about it, but just what he did tonight was awesome.
Yeah, the slider was working again, and he was dotting. I mean, he had some, I think it was to Marsh, where it was in on his hands, and it was right at the edge of the zone and made him chop it.
Yeah.
Right at the edge of the zone, a little, like, middle in, you know, and just, or middle high, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And just cut him off, sawed him off, perfect. It was textbook from him tonight. And to see how much he struggled on Saturday for him to flip the switch, fuck yeah.
Rad. Also, he's throwing 94. So it's just one of those things, like, it's the pitch sequencing, how deceptive it is, location. You don't have to, you know, blow the hinges off the door every, you know, pitch. But he's just was just so dominant, just not really topping out high on the radar gun.
Yeah, and it was also tough for him because there were so many defensive miscues that did not show up on that score sheet. With Stuart Fairchild, he had two of them in center, especially with that, with Ellie running out and Stuart running in. And that was Stuart's ball, and he let Ellie call him off.
Yeah, you cannot see that. Your center fielder is supposed to be a dominant player out there taking charge, and he's just pussyfooting around out there. It's such an ugly look. And we were just talking about how a good play gets passed around the ball club. Bad play does too. So you see someone make a lazy play, not focusing, that translates to the other players. And we saw it later on in the game too, yep, where he comes up, his base is loaded, I believe it was one out. It was a shallow fly out. Fairchild's running in, gets the ball, and just tosses it back. He completely forgets about the runner at third, and they get an easy run.
Yeah, he was sliding in, and it just, like, caught it. Oh, wait, no. Oh, didn't even think. My bad. And then there was that play in right field with CES and Will Benson, and no one called it, and it just dropped in between them. There was at least five opportunities in that game where if they would have made a play defensively, they would have won it.
And yeah.
Instead, it got set up to the position where Alexis Diaz blows it.
Yeah, that was a game they did not really deserve to win, and they didn't win it. And we saw, too, this game, another with the one we just saw with the Phillies, the opener. In the first inning, Jonathan India was tagging up from third. Steer hit a fly ball out to center field, and he runs in. It's going to be a close play. And then CES, on deck guy, doesn't give him any sort of slide left, slide right. The ball was thrown up. The catcher had to go grab it, and India didn't slide.
Yep.
He could have slid. CES could have told him to slide to the left. Would have been an easy run for the Reds. And that is, if you can split a mental error,
yep,
they would have each shared that.
Yep. 100%. And you wouldn't have had to go to extras.
No, you wouldn't have. It was very exciting, but
super exciting. And I'll give it on CES for the fact that, you know, this is his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot for him to learn. So I will cut him a break on that one. Stuart Fairchild is 28.
I forget about that.
He's too. Not getting a break.
No.
You guys all know my thoughts. So on Stuart Little. So I'm not cutting him a break. So it'll get better. And if it doesn't, then you have an issue that we have talked about this offseason, which is I'm worried about this team defensively.
Mm-hmm. There was definitely some issues so far early on. So hopefully they can address that because it's a lot of fundamentals.
It's a lot of mental errors. It'll be fixed. David's the type of dude where it's not no nonsense, but it's more of those, like, he doesn't chew you out. He goes up, he's like, come on, man, let's get it together. And then you're like, yep, the way that he handled that, I'm on board. I will change and be better.
Yeah. So hopefully this is something put behind him because, I mean, it's much easier to correct mental mistakes than it is, like, just being physically, you know, not great.
Yeah. You can't just immediately get into shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm speaking from experience.
We know what we're talking about, okay?
You know. I mean, offensively, it was another great game where they put up six runs.
Mm-hmm.
Candelario dingered. Malley dingered. Will Benson had a double, mm-hmm, you know? So not for the lack of this team hitting. It was just defensive miscues and then just some pitching. Your starting pitching not being super sharp, and then Alexis folding after four bad pitches. So,
and I think we're hyper focused on it too, just like these small little issues, because with how close the Central is most likely going to be and how close it was last year, just how many just few runs, few wins to separate you from ending your season or going into the playoffs. I mean, you can really, like they say, you can lose the, you know, the season like in the beginning of the year, but not at the end, or whatever
you
it
can't
is.
Win. Yeah. You can't win a World Series in April, but you can lose one in May.
Yeah.
That's the line. Because look at it. The season ended last year. We were two games out from the last wild card spot that went to the now defending National League champs. Two wins. So, we are hyper-focused because we were hyper-focused down the stretch last year. And you can't be like, well, you know, you just get away sometimes. Well, one game or two games the difference. You can look back and put at this moment and go, well, if only.
Yeah, and the Reds, I can't remember what exactly was the stat, but the amount of one-run game differences they had last year, I'm pretty sure was high up there.
And they won a lot of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's great, but still, it just shows you how close these games are, and you don't want to have to look back and see these small errors, mental errors, cost you.
Well, and then back-to-back, these small, you know, back-to-back, they won close ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sunday, good God. We'll start with Nick Martinez. I think as your 4 or 5, 6, 7 starter moving forward, a guy who's just in the mix and a guy who can also go to the bullpen.
For sure.
It's kind of what you expect. 5 innings pitch, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, a walk, and 3 Ks. His changeup wasn't exactly working, and when he has his fastball and his changeup working and can mix those, have those two and mix in a curveball and a cutter, you know, then he's cooking. We've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I seen it.
I've gone done seen it, and the guy can do it.
Yeah, and you can see his pitch charts is kind of all over the place there in a kind of healthy way, sort of. But, you can at least see he's not just focusing in a couple areas.
He's on both sides of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
He's all over, and then also dropping his curveball on top of the plate where you want it to be, you know. But you just really need that changeup to be on point.
For sure.
And it wasn't. And that's what'll happen. But again, when you're talking about a 4, 5, 6, or 7 starter, 5 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, adequate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're making it into the 5th inning, you did better than our last year's ace. So
right. You're giving length, and that's what he was brought in for. He wasn't brought in to be Garrett Cole. Nick Martinez was brought in to be Nick Martinez.
Correct.
We'll see how it shakes out moving forward, but after Thursday, Emilio Pagan corrected course with 2 Ks. He pitched well again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Farmer just laid a fatty right down Broadway, dude.
Yeah, he did.
He got smoked, and he was like, oh, well, he knew it as soon as it went off the bat.
Yeah, bummer.
It was like, and then Buck's like,
oh, shoot. I'm not getting that one back.
Nope. I'm going to just walk behind. I'm going to go walk behind the dugout. I'll go hang my head. then to TJ Antone, a guy we're also going to talk about later, loaded him up, wasn't anywhere close to the strike zone. Then Fernando Cruz came in. He gave one of Antone's runs came in, but he stopped the bleeding. And then they stopped the bleeding, and Sims came and shut it down on the top of the ninth, and then the bottom of the ninth happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
And this was Easter, right? This
Easter
was Sunday.
Easter Sunday, the Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm. The Lord is a Reds fan.
The Lord is a Reds fan because red legs never say die, baby.
Correct.
Dude.
Even if it looks like we're dead, we rise.
We rise. Yeah, 3 balls in the count. Well, guess what? We're never getting to 4. Because he was needing to sleep for 3 days.
Then
we rise up. Oh, man. 10 pitches to Jonathan India.
Dude, that's so rad. I just want to say something about Jonathan India. starting. He's a leadoff guy right now, and he's just showing that tenacity that we wanted from him that was reminiscent of his Rookie of the Year season, where he's stepping up, being the leader, and just doing the things that leaders do.
Yes. And he's, and everybody else is leading by example. He is being so patient at the plate. He's hacking away. He's being smart. And you see that spreading through the rest of the lineup.
There's been so many good takes these past handful of games that we've seen so far.
Dude, Will, him and Will Benson are so unbelievably patient.
Yeah, dude. Just watching pitches. Just on the edge. Just like they already know. It's like, no, it's a ball.
That's a ball. You know where I learned that from? I learned that from some future Hall of Famer. Little Canadian guy, you might have heard of him, Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's just like so cool to watch that philosophy pass through. And him, 10 pitches, fouling him off, wearing him down, living on the edges, and then just roping a double.
Yeah, dude.
And when it's a full count, two outs, Reds never say die.
Yeah, baby.
It was, God, that was beautiful.
And that set up William B.
And I set up Willie B, baby. And Alicia looked over at me and she went, wouldn't it be cool if Willie B hit a two-run homer and then CES came up and hit a home run?
I didn't know that. She said that?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
She looked right at us. I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And in the back of my head, I'm like, Kyle Finnegan blew the second most saves in all the baseball last year with 8.
Hmm?
Deep center, Will Benson. Danger.
Get it.
Then one pitch, CES, danger.
I lost my, I was over at my family's, my in-laws, and I'm like, I had like a plate of hors d'oeuvres on my lap, and I'm watching on my phone, I'm going, oh, I about knocked over my deviled eggs. People have no idea what's happening.
Aren't they risen eggs on Easter Sunday?
Oh, exactly. They're non-denominational eggs.
Assembly of egg.
Egg assembly.
Egg assembly. God damn it, that's so good. Yeah, I was just like, we were screaming, and it was like, it was the bottom of the eighth, and there were two outs, and people were leaving and walking out,
mm-hmm.
And Alicia's like, oh, God, I wish I was them. I was like, babe, it's not over till it's over.
Mm-mm.
There it is. Never leave early. You never know with this team, dude.
Exactly.
Coming right back. And CES, you know, that was his 13th AB of the year, and he had, and so he was 1-for-13 with a homer. Say if he has, we're not including tonight's game because I just made this, I just did some math.
Mm-hmm.
If he has 500 ABs in the season, that puts him on pace to hit 38.46 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we need him to do.
That's what we need, baby.
We need a bop, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, he's being a bop. Will's being a bop. How you feel? How you feeling about him? Just like one hit, one homer.
I dig it, man. I mean, that's what he's here for. This is supposed to be like his ballpark, man, his playpen. Like, slap it around. You know, get you some dubs, get you some home runs. I love it. I can't wait to see what he does this year. He's one of those players we've been waiting to see develop, and he's here. We're expecting a lot of him with the injuries, but just the fact that, you know, this is his time.
Yeah. And you know what? This will give him the confidence. He was looking a little shaky. Then he turned around tonight, and I think he had a single. He went 1-for-4, I believe.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, he went 2-for-5 tonight.
Yeah.
2-for-5 with an RBI, dude. That's what I'm talking about. So he's starting to come around, dude.
I dig it. And also, too, like, I know we're talking about it, about good takes, but, you know, these numbers are going to play out a bit more here. But you're seeing some stuff, even the players aren't really hitting the greatest right now. I know it's still very early on, but they're having great looks. They're having good swings. They're even hitting the ball hard when they are getting out. So, all the things considered, I am enjoying the offense for where it's tracking.
Yeah, and especially once the weather starts to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everyone's fully activated.
Yeah, get these babies in rhythm.
Get them moving, dude. Tonight, Andrew Abbott made his debut. He went 5-1/3. He gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He had a rough start, but then he finished strong.
Yeah, and the 2 runs that he gave up in the first, that was just a nub job to first. So it wasn't a hard shot. And the fact that this is the thing I really enjoyed about that. He came back after throwing about like 20-something, 25 pitches or something like that in the first and got them through the sixth.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Or into the sixth.
Into the sixth. Got that out to start the sixth. And then he was like, all right, cool.
Locked in.
Bring him in. Let's bring in Pagan. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in the guy we're paying to keep shutting the door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that That's so encouraging.
Very much so.
And against an offense like the Phillies, you got to give this dude props, because if this is how it starts for him,
mm-hmm.
if he can replicate what he did last season for those first 10 starts
yeah.
and stretch, even this, if you can get to 6 innings, you're talking about a guy who's a bona fide 3.
Yeah, dude. He was nails tonight.
Nails. Someone you go, all right, I get a bet on him to get this, get through it. The numbers aren't ever going to be sensual, but you know what will be? 1 or 2 earned runs and saving your bullpen.
Yeah, and that mustache. Come on now.
Dude, guy knows a thing or two about a good mustache, and it's pretty good. He needs a soul patch, though.
You think so?
I think he does. Yeah.
I don't know, man. He seems just like, that's not the type of dirty he is. A soul patch is dirty. I don't want to infringe on you.
Please,
he's more of a kick your shoes off, run around the field type of dirty.
Okay, yeah. I'm the guy who's huffing gasoline.
Exactly. You're at the gas station dirty.
Ooh, buddy, I'm taking a grocery bag. I'm getting some spray paint, skidding in there. Puffing up and then trying to steal some Slim Jims.
There you are.
Yeah, he's definitely like, you know what? I'm going to go brush the horse.
I'm going to brush the horse. He might steal some carburetors, but that's about it.
Oh, nah. He's just going to go shoot some shot, dude.
Yeah, probably.
He's going to go fishing. I can see him out there, you know, some mossy oak with me just being like, how do I rebuild this VCR?
Yeah, man. Fucking Abbott. Great start
dude,
tonight.
I'm so hyped on him this season. I think he's a guy that's definitely taking that next step this year. You see it. And again, the Phillies that's who I picked to win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he has to start the season on the road in the cold. Ugh.
Yeah.
Good on him, dude. Pagan shut the door. Justin Wilson looked good. Brent Suter got in a little bit of trouble, but then he got the one out that he needed. Then Alexis Diaz, dude, nails. Again, like you said earlier, nails. He just needed to get back on the horse and ride, and boy, howdy, did he gallop.
Yeah, he did, dude. And just seeing him go back to that slider for that last final out, that just shows the tenacity of not only him, but this team, the confidence they have in each other and the team as a whole. That was awesome.
Yep, that was awesome. And then Antone got in a little bit of trouble, but you know what? He needed to get out of it. He had a leash, and he got out of it.
Yeah, he did. That was awesome for him. He got out Bryce Harper for the final out. Had a lot of ups and downs real quick in that inning, but that was great for him.
His sinker looked gross.
Mm-hmm.
His fastball, he was trying to get a feel for it. He didn't have a feel for his slider at first, so then he switched over to his curveball, and that curveball looked great with that sinker combo.
It really did.
Man, if he keeps spinning like that and he keeps getting better, that's another weapon in that pen. And it makes you ask a lot of questions on who's staying in this pen, who's got to go down to AAA, where are we moving up and down? Like, I'm really excited because there's just so much talent.
There is.
There's not a lot of room for error in this bullpen because there's someone coming for your job.
And quite literally. I mean, that's going to lead right into the next thing.
Yeah, it'll lead right in. But them loading up the bases in the top of the 10th, being patient. India, patient again at the dish.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Will Benson being patient again at the dish. And then then right after that, oh, my God, why am I having an ass?
Well, we had Will Benson maybe first, India.
Well, we had, yeah. And then that's what it was. It was.
Oh, we had someone before Benson. Oh, we had someone on second because it was the extras. That's what it was.
Bella Thompson was taking Mally's spot. And then you had Benson lead it off, walk. India, walk. So you got your bases juiced. And then Spencer Steer walking in 4 runs.
Reach out and touch something, man.
Dude, and it looked like he wanted to touch something the way that his face was lighting up.
That was generally like one of the coolest celebrations. It was like he wasn't celebrating. He was just right on the base going, oh! Oh, like watching his ball. Like, hey, grand slam. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Oh, Sharon.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah, we actively watched a man edge at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah. Not yet. Run backwards.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
That was great. But like everyone passing like the torch along, like the way, you know, the patience at the plate, those balls were so borderline. A little bit, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, great patience, great plate discipline, and then steer to stepping up. Oh, I loved it.
It was awesome. It was a textbook 2024 Red Legs Never Say Die win.
Right. Correct. There. Yeah.
And against a really good ball club. Really good ball club. And stretched them out because they needed to bring in another reliever.
Yeah, man.
Which is really going to have a tonal shift on the rest of this series, especially when you have Spencer Turnbull tomorrow. And that guy, I don't know you or your family, Spencer, but you suck. But you, how do you still have a job? They're going to light his ass up tomorrow.
I really hope so. And talk about all these small little things, but getting to the bullpen early, that just makes you more effective later on in the series, being able to score runs. So when you see the Reds doing it, these small little things that make huge differences, it's fun to watch.
It's super fun. It's super fun. And speaking of super fun, April 10th, Nick Lodolo will be making his start for the Red Legs. We'll see how that all shakes out, but he had a good start down in AAA yesterday. 5 innings pitch with 8 Ks. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, dude? Like,
we're going to have to make a little bit of room, but hopefully, you know, everyone's going to be still able to work in AAA, and you see how things happen throughout the course of the year. Sure. People are going to go up and go down, but I cannot wait to have Lodolo come up and just dominate.
Dominate. Now, here's the thing. I think he has the ability to dominate. He has the skill set. He has the pitches.
Mm-hmm.
But what he doesn't have, and it's been proven so far, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be a dick. But his health has not been great.
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't been great. So you have this backup plan where you have to run a 6-man rotation and be like, when's the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, we'll see what happens when or if it does happen.
Yeah.
But all that aside, Lodolo being in your lineup, having him healthy is amazing. But
it is. Mm. But, man, I hope that when he gets up here, he just sticks. And it's like, you're cool. Or there's a couple times where it's like, how are you feeling? You a little tired? Okay, we're going to send you to Louisville and put you on the 10-day, miss a couple starts.
Yeah, the tired list.
Yeah. Elbow fatigue.
Exactly.
Shoulder fatigue. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard not to think about that with the recent injuries with the Reds. So, yeah, that's in the back of my mind as well. But I'm thinking positive about him. I'm excited to see that he's doing well right now. And I can't wait to see him back up in a Reds uniform.
Yeah, I'm not discrediting how excited I am and how excited you are. I'm just saying, from his track record, I am hesitant.
I know.
And I'm hoping for the best. No plantar fasciitis this year.
Please no.
Please God no. Sam Maul said his shoulder felt great, but the results said otherwise. So he's going to be stretching it back out down in Louisville and getting ready to rejoin this rotation. Or this rotation, geez. This bullpen where you have a slew of lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, dude. Absolutely love it. So what we have coming up ahead, we got the Phillies today at 6:40. Graham Ashcraft is going against Spencer Turnbull. Oh, brought shame to his family. And then Frankie Montas on Wednesday going against Zach Wheeler.
All right. This will be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm excited. I'm just so jonesed up right now from all this excitement we've seen with this game.
I am too, but Zach Wheeler, dude, is so good. So, dude, if they take tomorrow, I'm peaches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great. I'm on top of the world, dude. Took 2 out of 3 on the road early against the Phillies. Awesome. If they sweep, I'm done. I'm going to go swim in the Ohio River. I'm going to go take a lap, and I'm going to have my beer bat full of chili. Stop, chug, paddle, paddle, stop, chug, paddle, paddle.
I'll be there with you, man.
Oh, sick.
I'll float down the river with you, bro.
Hold us to it. If the Reds sweep the Phillies, we're swimming the Ohio.
So we're floating.
We're floating.
One beer bat with beer, the other one with chili.
And then just a donut floaty right behind the head.
Oh,
man.
So peaceful.
And then going into the weekend, 3 against the Mets. They haven't announced the full rotation yet, but I'm...
Seymour Wiener's going to be in there, I think.
I think he's throwing out the first seven-gun salute.
Yeah, he's throwing out the first pitch to a lot of vag.
Actually, you know what? They got Seymour Wiener sitting in the POW chair in right center field.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I got to honor the others. He takes his teeth out and puts them on the fallen soldier statue. Just chilling. That'd be great. Dude, we need to put Seymour Wiener on tour with the Steel Bane.
Oh, my God. It'd be great, dude. Bring them together at last.
Yeah, that's a co-headliner set.
It would be, yeah.
You could easily sell at the Brady Center.
I think so. We could do like a Bonnaroo thing where it'd be like a Friday-Saturday ordeal. I think Steel Beam would have to be the Saturday.
Beamaroo!
Yeah! There it is. We found it out.
It took 59 minutes and 19 seconds for us to come up with Beamaroo.
And there's someone probably shouting it like in their head, Beamaroo, Beamaroo, Beamaroo,
the whole time. Like, come on. All right. Well, that's the new Nasty Boys merch. We're gonna make Beamaroo shirts. We're gonna tie dye them.
Yeah.
And then put fake dates on the back.
With all a bunch of like really questionable like military names.
Military names, yeah. From fake county fairs.
Yeah.
Done. Perfect. You're gonna be able to get this. The Reds have Hunter Green, Nick Martinez, and Abbott going for the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like our chances there. They have Severino, Miguel, and Sean Manaea on the bump. Severino was destroyed by the Brewers. Miguel had a short outing, and Manea's making his debut tonight, so I don't know how it went.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take 2 out of 3, dude? Keep this ball rolling.
Keep it going, man.
Keep it going till you get to May. Keep this offense rolling till you get to May, and you have a real tough schedule. And guess what? You put TJ Friel in center.
Mm-hmm.
Good God.
I can't wait for that.
Think about how much better the offense gets.
Mm-hmm. I was excited to see him in the dugout, talking, hanging out, letting people know things are going well.
Signing his soft cast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's rad.
That's so cool. Dude, I'm so hyped. I feel really good moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that we were most concerned about was not getting off to a hot start.
Correct.
And so far in these first 4 games, taking 3 out of 4 is technically a hot start.
Yeah, and just seeing the types of productive at-bats, quality, more or less starts from some of the pitchers, or at least seeing some of the quality within what's happening so far is giving me a lot of stuff to be excited about.
Dude, this photo of Spencer Steer is just so wholesome.
He's so, like, that is a little kid playing a grown man sport.
He is so happy.
Look at him.
Dude, how could you not love Spencer Steer? He's just like, yeah, we did it, guys.
Look at that. I hit a baseball.
You guys have to buy me ice cream this time.
Exactly, yeah.
Can I eat ice cream out of this Viking helmet?
So wholesome.
Yeah. If I have one beer, someone has to drive me back to the hotel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just want to pull up just a quick glance, real quick.
Of him running around the bases?
No, I want to look at the rest of April.
Okay.
Okay? So, after this Mets series, and we return Tuesday morning, we will have the results of the Reds-Brewers game from that Monday, but the Reds have a 4-spot at home against the Brewers. First time playing someone in their division. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Brewers did tonight, but they might have been off, but... I am not sure off the top of my head. 4 against the Brewers at home, and then they go on the road. They'll be at the White Sox. They're mm-hmm. pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Let's beat up on them.
Dude, just keep building.
Keep rolling.
And then I'll be in Seattle for these.
Oh, man.
So I'll be at the Mariners for those. And then they come back, and they've got the Angels. And then they've got 4 at home against the Phillies.
Let's bring it.
And then to close out the month, you've got 3 at the Rangers and 3 at the Padres. So, dude, you have a chance right here to beat up a little bit. The Brewers haven't truly found themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could finish this month, if you can finish this month 6 or 7 games above 500, you're in an excellent spot. And that gives you wiggle room for how hard May is going to be.
Yeah, May is going to be difficult. But yeah, keep it rolling. Get everyone in a nice rhythm there. Get the pitchers going. Get everyone some quality at bats. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm horned up. Let's round third and head for home, baby.
Sure, man.
Lead her off.
All right. I got a few dates here. It'll be on the 5th of April, Brickies in Miamisburg. And then the 18th back here in Dayton, Kentucky at the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I'm going to be going April 19th and 20th, 420, to Comedy Off Broadway. I'll be working with Billy DeVore and Tom Green.
Whoa. One of those guys is a celebrity and pretty awesome. And the other's Tom Green. See what I did? It's me.
Yeah.
Same with the dates with him. I'll be with him April 19th and 20th at the Dirty D Comedy Off Broadway. I don't know why I called it the Dirty D. I am tired.
That's all right. We're just at the Dirty D.
The Dirty D, baby. Oh, then you can catch me April 28th, 29th, and 30th at Beamaroo. I'll be following the Beam around. So checking out Steely Dan as well. They're on the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be great. So definitely check it out. Thank you to Sports Drink for sponsoring the audio of this podcast and hosting it. It's fantastic. Check out intheclutch.com. 10% off. Promo code Nasty Boys, all caps. There's some sick stuff that we dropped on there. And also, thanks for having me in the fart dungeon.
Anytime, brother.
Appreciate it. And thanks to you for watching and listening. And as always, go Red Legs.
Go Red Legs.